Welcome to Panther Puri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Here are your hosts, Alex Lopez, Jake Langsam, and TJ Peterson.
Fuck you, NHL. Fuck you and your motherfucking crew.
And that's
fuck the NHL
podcast.
As a label, as a, what was the line from Hit 'Em Up? Does anybody remember it?
All right, Alex, why don't you start the podcast?
Hit him up style?
Yeah, what was the line? Fuck the NHL as a label, as a else, and as a motherfucking crew.
Close enough. Welcome to another episode of Panther Puri. I'm your host, Alex Lopez. Joining me, as always, is TJ Peterson. And
fuck the NHL.
And friend of the podcast, Roy Bellamy from the Dan Le Batard Show. Oh, and back.
You forgot about Jacob.
No, I didn't forget about him.
He did not forget
here anymore. So you got the billing over Jacob. But yes,
I'm back, bitches.
And by the way, it's not the NHL's fault. It is the NHL's fault. It's partly their fault, but it's ESPN's fault.
It's ESPN's fault.
Yeah, ESPN picked the Panthers because they had all
they picked the
Rangers.
Like, the Rangers, yeah, that's what I meant.
They picked the Rangers because A, market, two. They already picked the Heat series. That's I guess they didn't want to do both.
I think that the ESPN has always, or at least for the last few years, they have the Eastern Conference Finals as a default.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, let's just backtrack, and obviously this is where we're going to start today's podcast. So as everyone knows, the Panthers have been put head-to-head with the Miami Heat for all but one game of this playoff series. Obviously, the Florida Panthers are not happy. And how that happened, as we found out today, is that ESPN essentially selected the Rangers Carolina Hurricanes series over the Florida Panthers Tampa Bay Lightning series because they believe it's a better marketing draw. And guess what?
They're correct.
It is. It's the New York freaking Rangers.
Biggest team in the league.
Yeah, it's the biggest. Well, big.
But Toronto's the biggest team
biggest,
in the league.
Nope, biggest team in the league.
It's the biggest team in America, probably.
Look at the franchise values. Look at the franchise values. The Rangers are number one.
Well, okay, yeah, because the arena, yeah, sure.
Okay, but in terms of overall fan, I mean, Toronto's
TJ
probably
is correct.
But in terms of national draw for the U.S., it's the Rangers. It's not really debatable. The issue, and I mentioned it on our Twitter feed earlier today, the problem is this is a failing by the NHL from going all the way back to the beginning of the season. It started when they didn't give the Panthers any national TV games. And like seven games on that were ESPN Plus exclusives. And then even with flex scheduling and the fact that they knew the Panthers were a juggernaut from day, like 1 week into the season, they only flexed two Panthers games into primetime.
It took a second bout of COVID for that to happen, by the way.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. This is a failing that goes back all the way to the beginning of the season by the NHL, by ESPN. They had an opportunity to start marketing the Florida Panthers as the team you have to see, and they never did.
And I think that the major thing they could have done here, even if you want to make the argument, which I would probably agree with, that even if they had marketed the Panthers, like it's still a local market sport, and the Rangers are always going to be more relevant. It wouldn't have mattered if the Rangers snuck in with 95 points and then won, you know, in game seven overtime in a fluky way. Oh, wait, that did happen. But, you know, still people think the Rangers are a good team and, you know, whatever. But my point is going to be, and actually I'm going to echo what Mike Ryan said on today's local hour. The series should have started on Monday. Like the NHL will make the argument, oh, the Lightning didn't have enough rest. Okay, well, win the fucking series in less than seven games then. This game should have been today. It should have been tonight.
But the round ended on Sunday.
They could have announced that as soon as that series was set on Saturday that the first game was going to be today. I mean, it would have been the same amount of advance notice. And look, the NBA did the same thing. They announced the full Eastern Conference final schedule without knowing whether it was going to be Milwaukee or Boston that was playing the Heat. And the NHL could have done the same thing.
Yeah, and didn't Boston get one day off? Didn't they play Sunday? Their game seven was Sunday.
Yeah, they're only
right?
getting yeah. one day off. It's the exact same amount of rest that the Lightning would be getting if they played today.
Yeah, it's not a rest argument because the reality is you had St. Louis and
it would have been Blues Avalanche as the late game.
Yeah, right. Like why did that not happen?
Yeah, Blues Avalanche could have dropped tonight. Panthers Lightning could have dropped tonight. I mean, you literally have a night where there's no NBA games, no NHL games. Like how do you drop the ball this bad if you're the NHL?
Just don't get it.
I mean, it's a mistake of effort. I don't want to call it effort proportions, but it's the same mistakes the NHL has been making for 15 years now, where they do not market their best teams. They market their best locations. And then, you know, we want to, you know, kind of shame ESPN a bit. It's on you guys as well. Like when you guys signed the deal, bringing back the NHL, we had that viral video of Stephen A. Smith going like, oh yeah, I'm going to talk icing. I'm going to talk Rangers. I'm going to talk McDavid. I'm going to talk Ovechkin. I'm going to talk Crosby. You know how many times he talked any of those things this year? None. You know how many times you see it on Get Up Hockey? None. All the NHL does, all the ESPN does is NHL highlights. There's never any, other than like the pregame shows, there's never any analysis during the day. None of their talking heads. I mean, Roy, you were part of the machine for a long time. How often was your content dictated by what ESPN wanted you to promote that was coming on their airwaves later that night?
Majority. Like, okay. We get billboards saying, hey, this is what's happening tonight. Fit it in. And that's what we did. Although, right now, I am steadfastly getting tired of seeing the playoff commercial they have, you know, with the guys get a party going, guys. That
Andrew
song.
WK.
You know what?
Yeah.
Andrew I do WK. Love that song, though.
Good song.
Well, there's a reason why I'm steadfastly tired of that commercial, because the very last image of hockey that you see before they put the graphics saying, oh, this game tonight, Sidney Crosby raising the cup. Why is he the last thing that I see on that commercial?
No.
The Lightning won last year. Why isn't it Steven Stamkos? Why is it Sidney Crosby? It makes no sense.
More people know Crosby is the only thing I can come up
but
with.
But he's not.
And that's an NHL problem. That is an NHL problem.
He's
like,
not.
Market your players.
Yeah, that's all the NHL does.
That is something that the NHL teams. Has always struggled with, marketing true stars.
He's not even the best player in the league anymore. If I can say he was the best player in the league at all during his career, I will never ever say that.
Crosby?
Yeah, I will never ever say that he was the best
he
player.
He absolutely
any year.
Was the best player.
Again, I said I will never say that.
Okay. You don't have to. I'll say it.
He'd be correct, but he's never going to say it.
I'm never going to say that. Certainly not this year, because the Hart Trophy is going to go to Connor McDavid this
quick
season.
Quick question, Roy. Do you know when
Penguins
game one of their series is? Do you happen to know that?
Next season.
Yeah.
Sometime in October.
That's right. The season opener. It's not in the preseason.
What was your reaction to Panarin scoring the overtime goal?
Laughing.
I mean, full disclosure, my best friend is a diehard Penguins fan. Like,
oh,
as much of a Penguins fan as
you
we
should
are
find
Panthers
better
fans.
Friends.
Yeah, you should.
I mean, look, he was my co-captain on UM. Like,
well, I don't know why he was a captain.
Because he was damn good, and we won a national championship together. So he's my best friend. That's what it is.
Yeah, but
yeah,
an A.
I mean, look at the Avalanche. Fair. McKinnon wears Fair. The A, you know?
But, part of me was like, oh, geez, yeah, Crosby's out. Part of me was feeling bad for my friend Brad. Part of me was like, great. Now all the non-analytical dumbasses are going to be like, see, all you need is heart to win in the playoffs. And of course,
and the New York Post delivered.
Larry Brooks, baby. The New York Post delivered.
Ah,
Brooksy. Always count on Larry Brooks to have a shitty take about analytics.
Nah, Brooksy.
But it was like, yeah, it wasn't the fact that you got to play against a fourth string goalie. It wasn't the fact that Crosby missed a game and a half. I know we all shit on Crosby here because he's a bitch, but still kind of an important player.
Yeah,
and
he missed a game series.
He missed a game and a half in this series. Like, those all of those things happened, but no, it's Hart the reason the Rangers won.
Yeah.
Like,
before we leave the subject, because I feel like we're about to, I don't understand why people are the Rangers, the Hurricanes could go either way. Like, no, the Hurricanes are going to win that quickly.
Sure will.
No, see, TJ, here's the thing, though. I agree. The Hurricanes should win it quickly, but it could go either way, depending on one person in particular. That one person being Igor Shesterkin.
Yeah, the one person wearing pads. But, oh my goodness, that matchup. Keandre Miller versus Tony D'Angelo. Oh,
yes!
My God.
I am so excited for the Rangers for the Rangers versus Tony D'Angelo.
I hope they beat the
I'm not excited.
Out of that racist.
I don't think
beat
it's going to happen.
Carolina has Max Domi and Tony D'Angelo.
Beat the fuck out of that racist. Beat him down. Thank you.
I mean, we all kind of said it with the last series of Boston and Carolina, where it's like, yeah, if there's one person in the NHL Marchand can take a run at, and everyone's just gonna be like, yeah, no, that looked clean to me. It's Tony D'Angelo. Now with Condre Miller, like, no, like, go off, like, put lead in your stick and decapitate him, sharpen the blade.
Brian Reeves.
It's got to be Miller. It's got to be Miller.
Yeah, but hit him like TJ Oshie hit Sam Bennett.
Yeah. Just anything you want. And it's like, nah, man, I saw nothing.
And dude, I think the referees are the same way. Like, nobody likes him. Nobody likes that guy.
No, and nobody should.
Nah, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. Exactly. Fucking racist.
Stealing a man's first ever gold puck, like, regardless of all the racial undertones, like, you're a shitty person just for that. Then add all the stuff that you are a racist. Like, just fuck yourself, Tony D'Angelo.
Game four, like, just the general way he behaved. Like, you can make the argument with plausible deniability that, like, that stuff is in the past. But then you see what he did in game four, like, where he threw the stick. It's like, clearly he hasn't changed that much, you know?
No.
We don't probably know about the rest of the stuff, but clearly he hasn't changed that much.
Yeah, he was probably at the insurrection, too. Fuck that guy.
He was asked about it in a press conference when he signed. Yeah, he was. I thought that was funny. That's quality journalism.
At NYR fan 62438248619 or whatever the fuck it is.
Where was Tony D'Angelo during Charlottesville inquiring one? Mines one time.
Oh yeah, that's more likely, I feel like.
Yeah, no, yeah. You will not replace us.
So speaking of racists, Tampa Bay is the upcoming opponent for the Panthers in this series.
What was that transition?
It's a moving on situation.
Roy, you know what you need to say right now.
What's that? Two Americas?
awkward transition.
Transition.
Look, I'm trying to take a shot at Tampa because they don't have a population that says, diverse and tolerant as we do in South Florida. I don't think that's really up for debate.
No, well, I'm just trying to take a shot at a racist right now. That's all.
Let's take a look at how they voted in the gubernatorial election. And
I mean, the entire county was blue, though.
Was it?
Anyway, the P in PTP now stands for politics.
That's true. That's true. No, all the metropolitan counties where the big cities are were all blue. Everywhere else is red. And you know where that is. Gainesville.
Yeah, it's up there. Well, Gainesville itself, probably because of the college students were.
No, I think Gainesville's
so
blue.
Gainesville's blue north of that.
Yeah, the panhandle.
And west of that.
Everything outside of Gainesville is not blue, but the Gainesville itself is very blue.
Yeah, College Town bubble.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so regardless of whether or not Tampa is all that
what
racist,
a doozy that was. I think transition. We have an upcoming hockey series to talk about now, please.
Transition, yeah.
Can I not take a shot at the city that we're playing in the fucking playoffs?
You can take a shot. Go for it. But boy, was that a shot.
Trump supporters in Tampa, yeah.
There's some. Look.
Let's start. Salami does not go on Cuban sandwiches, Tampa.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
Bunch of idiots.
Tampa fans will come back at you and say, well, the Cuban sandwich was invented in Tampa. And to that, I say, go fuck yourselves. It was perfected in Miami.
That's right.
Wasn't it invented in Cuba? Like, by default, it has to be?
They don't eat those sandwiches in Cuba. Are you kidding me?
They don't have bread.
Well, this is an American sandwich.
Cheese.
They don't dip it in coffee.
Cubans actually do dip everything in
coffee. Oh, they do.
We did invent that shit.
I do dip my pastelitos in coffee. I've never dipped a Cuban sandwich in coffee.
Just Cuban bread. Just Cuban bread.
The Bontestado and Cuban coffee, like, that's a staple.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try that next time I get Cuban.
Yeah.
So, awkward transition. I think that the number one thing to talk about going into this series is the health of Braden Point. He's been listed as doubtful for game one after. Did he leave game seven or did he come back and play?
He left game seven.
Okay.
Yeah, he did not take another. He may have taken one shift. He took one shift after that hit and then never came back.
Yeah, it's classified as a lower body injury, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was speculated to be a high ankle sprain, which is what Ekblad supposedly is playing with right now, or maybe got over. That was a decently long recovery. So it's the hockey playoffs, which means that he could be gone for the rest of the series, as we saw Tom Wilson was immediately after getting injured in game one, or he could be back in game two and not really be limited in terms of ice time, and it will come out later how limited he was in terms of the injury. What impact does this make upon the series, guys?
Well, I can tell you, he could probably end up being like Matt Dumba, who played with a punctured lung and a broken rib.
Yeah. I mean, that old story about Patrice Bergeron.
Yeah, in the 2013 finals.
Yeah, because it was the one that they won. So
I think they lost to the Blackhawks. I'll look that up though in the meantime. Yeah, but
it was either 2011 or 2013.
Yeah, but either way, I'm gonna take a different. I don't buy it. Why is he doubtful and not out playing? I think he's playing tomorrow.
I will say though, I do think it all evens out because Mason March probably isn't playing tomorrow either. And like when you like apples to apples, Braden Point, Mason Marchment, like come on, who are you really going to take?
Yeah, I agree.
there you go.
And you know, it kind of would be fitting that this year it's the Lightning dealing with a major injury issue, considering the Panthers didn't have Ekblad last year. So if the Lightning couldn't play with Point this year, it kind of cosmically evened things out. And then you know, what is that, Roy?
I just heard a Lightning fan saying that this is not going to be a series because Braden Point's out and he conveniently forgot about Ekblad's injury.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
No, of course. And I mean, look, it's getting ahead of ourselves to say the Panthers are going to win the series, whether or not Point plays. I mean, I don't think it's debatable that if Point misses most of the series, it heavily favors the Panthers. I mean, that's their number one center. Stamkos has had a bounce back year in terms of his overall play, but he's still up. To pretty much offense only winger at this point. Like Braden Point is a top 10 center in the NHL. That is a massive loss. So
I would put Point on the level of Barkov. Like you could say that Barkov's better. I think they're on the same level though.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I mean, Nick Paul is now their second line center. Who's had a good series.
Is he really?
Yeah. He took.
I can't be that incredulous because he did score both goals in the series clinching game against Toronto,
which were his only goals in the series.
There is only playoff goals in his career.
Right. Because you know, he was a Senator. They don't play in the playoffs.
That's correct.
Isn't he a Duck also?
I don't think so.
I'm mixing that up with one of the other, like Nate Paul or Brett Ritchie, or like.
I think you're mixing up with Brett Ritchie.
Those are two completely different names.
Nate Paul and Nick Paul, like those three are all one person to me.
Jeez, yeah, you're confusing with Aaron Paul. Yeah.
But either way, like when that's your second line center, it matters. Like the Panthers' second line center, depending on Sam Bennett, who's you know, yes, we all had our issues with Sam Bennett, but. There's no debate that he's better than Nick Paul. And if, you know, if it's not Sam Bennett, it's going to be Claude Giroux, which again, there's no debate. He's better than Nick Paul, or it could be Sam Reinhart, who there's
so
no
wait,
debate.
Is Anthony Cirelli playing 1C right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh, I take Barkov over Cirelli. That's a match.
Well,
that
yeah, definitely us. Barkov over Cirelli.
You take Bennett over Paul. That's a matchup that favors us. You take Anton Lundell over whoever the fuck their third line center is at this point.
Nick Paul?
Yeah, I don't even care who it is.
Paul is 2C, right. Pierre Edward Belmar? I don't know, man.
Is it?
Man.
Who's the Lightning beat writer?
He's a good fourth-line center.
Unless they do something like moving Stamkos center while Point
is
out.
The athletic one. And I know Joe Smith sounds like a name that I made up, but it's actually his name.
Yeah, because I know he tweeted out the lines today, and I wanted to pull them up.
I wouldn't be surprised if John Cooper, like, made Stamkos the center again while Braden Point is out just to spread out the lines a little bit.
Yeah, their centers down the line, Cirelli 1, Paul 2. Is it Riley Nash?
Riley Nash.
Wow. Yeah, and
Riley Nash hates hockey. I will tweet that again. I will send out that tweet again or just retweet myself.
Well, so does
Riley
Sean
Nash
Cooper.
Hates hockey. So he's one Sean of Cooper. The most low event players in the league.
Yeah, wow. And then Pierre-Marc
Belmar. His sole goal is to make sure nothing happens on either
end. Oh, so this is going to be a miserable series. Based on that lineup, this is going to be a miserable series to watch because Tampa is going to trap again, and wait to score on the power play.
Yeah, but it's going to be hilarious when Sam Reinhart just fucking walks Riley Nash and sets up Anton Lundell for 4 hat tricks in a row en route to the Panthers sweep.
I mean, they're gonna trap so hard. I don't know if it's going to be more than 2 goals in a single game. And I mean, by both teams.
But TJ brings up a point, a pretty good point. There's a, you know, especially if Point's not playing, there's a very high likelihood we see the 1-3-1 trap for another series. This time
there are only so many lines that Tampa can roll that can do that effectively though. You expect I thought all those lines can do the
1-3-1.
I guess if yeah,
I mean, we just watched
it makes it upsetting that Braden Point is out because you wouldn't make Braden Point trap.
Well, it is upsetting in the sense that like he's good at hockey and I wouldn't want to wish injury upon him. But I mean, it is advantageous. I'll put it that way.
We just saw the likes of Alex Ovechkin, TJ Oshie, Nick Backstrom, and Evgeny Kuznetsov all play the 1-3-1 trap better than anyone could have ever expected.
Yeah.
None of these guys are defensive stalwarts.
But those are all, yeah. Those are.
Well, Tampa also plays the trap, Backstrom don't they?
Pretty good defensively.
He was pretty good defensively.
He's just not that good
in general. Jacob has research to do. I love my open tabs right now. My open tabs right now are a guitar tab that I was, or a chord chart, Facebook to give myself the Zoom link. Zoom, U.S. population by gender, NHL franchise values, team season totals from Natural Stat Trick, the Hillsborough County election results from presidential election in 2020. And what was I going to, oh, right, I'm going to Evolving Hockey to look up how effective Nicklas Backstrom is defensively.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're
a day in the life of Panther Puri.
But we're about to see a much better team play the neutral zone trap against the Panthers. And if the Panthers can play like they did in the second half of game 5 and most of game 6, I think they'll be fine.
It's You're just, right, Alex.
I have a question. Is it a much better team if they don't have Braden Point? Are we sure that it's a much better team?
Yes.
Are we sure?
Kucherov is better than anything.
I mean, Ovi. Kucherov and Ovi kind of cancel out.
No. Kucherov is way better than Ovi at this point in their career.
Ooh. Overall, yeah. Sure, but like
I said, yeah, but now that I think about it, Ovi had a monster season.
Ovi was in the running for the Rocket.
He also doesn't have the quality that Kucherov has. He plays with Point like the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. But then moving
the key
on.
To Kucherov is gonna suck without Braden Point.
I mean, okay.
No, I'm just gonna spend this whole podcast trying to piss off as many Tampa fans that may listen to this as possible.
That's like the goal.
Victor Hedman, like
that's certainly a good argument.
Yeah, Victor Hedman. I mean,
they can roll out defensively.
I think Sergachev is like Carlson. They're pretty similar
players. But
that's
their number two, not their number one. Like Jan Ruda, like Ryan McDonough, like the quality, especially on Tampa's defense compared to what Washington put up against the Panthers is so much.
Mr. Hairflip, Calfoot.
Yeah. Calfoot actually has impressed me. I thought
he's a good player. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was supposed to be just a guy. Like, I mean, yes, he was a first-round draft pick, but for a while, like, he looked like he was a replacement-level player. I was impressed with him in that
Toronto
series.
Don't forget about Tampa's version of Tom Wilson, which is Fat Pat.
Yeah.
I that is insulting to Tom Wilson to compare Pat Maroon to him.
Well, of course, but that would be
– You're right. Pat Maroon guy. Is Tampa's version of TJ Oshie.
Oh, my God.
Gonna have to think of a guy that doesn't play on Washington because that's about as good as Pat Maroon is.
But again, it's if I think the Panthers are looking at another series of playing the 1-3-1 trap, so they're gonna have to respond to it again. The power play needs to be at its regular season level. You are not gonna make it through this series with a power play less than 20%. It's just not going to happen.
There's no way that
the power play is going to come up so dry for so long, though.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, it can't, like, from game one tomorrow, the power play has to be back. You cannot survive this thing without power play goals.
I think that penalty killing is actually going to be more important in this series because that's how they lost last year. You cannot give more than 40 give up a goal on more than 40% of the power plays you give to Tampa Bay. Like, you will just die. It doesn't matter how much you dominate play if you just give up a goal every time you get a penalty kill.
Well, that's what happened last year.
Yeah.
Right.
And they did die.
They did.
Well, it was a death. I'm wondering how Anthony Duclair is going to end up playing in this series because, as you know, game 6, he was in the press box wearing a suit. So... Well, I'm sure he's going to do it better.
He looks great in a suit.
Yep.
Yeah, he's a tailor. Dude. Yeah, not bad. But I want to see his hair. I want to see him wearing a helmet.
Yeah. True.
I think he looks better on the ice.
He is going to be wearing a helmet tomorrow. I think the Tampa series fits him better, assuming it's not a 1-3-1 trap. And if it is, we might see only Duclair for one game.
I also like thinking about it. I know I tweeted out that like via game six in a playoff series isn't the time to be sending a message, but in an elimination game, like, you know that Washington is just out for blood. So like, I, looking back on that, I'm not sure that was sending a message to Anthony Duclair. I really think that that was, here's a guy who hasn't been good and we need someone who can deal with what Washington's going to be trying to do tonight. Yeah, I mean, it's just,
it became evident to Brunette, not necessarily like, it was a conscious thing that he was doing. It's like, all right, I need to bench Duclair in order to do X, Y, Z. It's just, he found himself later in these playoff games, feeling out the way the game was going and not sending out Duclair for those critical shifts. He didn't want to do it for whatever reason. So I think that's why he ended up kind of coming to the conclusion that like, all right, I feel a little bit more confident with in Lomberg, which, you know, you can judge the, you know, merits of that argument if you want to. I certainly would have a problem with it on some level, but like that was a guy I feel like he was more comfortable with playing bigger minutes in a game like that,
and he
was rewarded for it.
He was rewarded for it. It paid off. Lomberg scored. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it was as much sending a message to Duclair or punishing Duclair, rather than like, hey, Duclair's not playing well, we need someone who can agitate. Lomberg, you're in. Duclair, you're sitting, and it worked, and it clearly wasn't a message because Duclair's back in tomorrow night.
And like with Duclair, if he's not putting up points, if he's not generating offense, which he really wasn't doing, that's all he does. Like, you know, there are good defensive players on this team at forward, you know, obviously Barkov, but some other guys like Marchman are good defensive players. Anthony Duclair is not one of those players. And he had a 30 goal season, so you don't need him to be. He's making $3 million scoring 30 goals. So anything you get on the defensive end is just a bonus.
Yeah. No, Duclair's in for game one. Like, that's just,
he's going to play with Huberto and Bennett.
The return of the 9-1-1 line.
Right. They need to start, you know, piling on the goals that they didn't the way they did in the regular season. Otherwise, they're going to be out of their comfort zone, and it's going to be very difficult for them to win out of their comfort zone against a team that will be in its ultimate comfort zone in the playoffs.
True. Tampa's reign will come to an end. Like, they're not going to win three straight, and it would be so poetic for the Panthers to be the ones to do it.
Well, I think I saw a stat somewhere, like the last four teams going for a three-peat all lost in the second round the next year. So
I generally hate stats like that because every year and every team is different. I generally speaking, I hate like versus this team in his career stats.
Yeah.
Because every team is different year to year. It's not like you're consistently, like a core, sure, but like it's dumb. And something like that is dumb.
I think that it's applicable, though, in the sense that like we're talking about a team that is not particularly deep and is now like going to be the least rested team in the league.
God.
And awkward transition.
And
who is an X factor for Tampa Bay in this series, do you think?
Vasilevsky.
Vasi, yeah.
Like, that's another thing that we could talk about, because like what version of Vasi are we getting? Because it felt like in the first five games he was very mortal, and in game six he was mortal for two periods.
Five games is all we need.
And then game seven,
we're gonna get big pads, Vasi. That's what we're
gonna... Yeah, I'm gonna predict God Vasi until we don't, because
that's the best way not to get hurt.
Yeah, one is the best way not to get hurt. And two, this guy has shown us again and again, he just gets better as the playoffs go on, not wears down. So if there's anyone on that team who's going to defy the amount of hockey they played over the last 2 years, it's him.
That man's body is going to collapse one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, those pads are heavy. So, you know, like he's got the biggest pads in the league. So, you know, it's almost illegal. So, it's definitely going to wear him out.
Ugh. Oh, Roy, with the illegal pad take. I mean,
he did say almost.
I mean, I'm trying to piss people off here. I'm sorry.
Right. Roy knows what the goal is.
But Roy understood the assignment.
So Alex already answered this question. Deep down, how many games do the rest of you think Braden Point is going to play in this series?
I think he's back in game two. Because if Matt Dumba is able to play with a punctured lung and a broken rib, then Braden Point can play with whatever he has.
I think that's the most likely scenario. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it's like a Tom Wilson type thing where they kind of make gestures to, oh, you know, he could be back for the next game. And then it comes out at the end of the series, like, oh yeah, he was going to be out for the rest of the playoffs, which is what they were doing with Wilson. Like it came out, and there were rumors about this around the time of game three, I believe, maybe it was game four, that he was not going to be coming back in the playoffs no matter what. But
those rumors ended up being right. Zing!
Right. Yeah. And then the gestures they were making is like, oh, he's day to day. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, but I'm like 60% thinking he's going to be back in game two and he's going to be like at 70%.
Yeah. There was one
asterisk what I just said with, I never want a player to get injured, but what goes around comes around, Tom Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, it's annoying that people act like players are healthy when they're not.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, these playoffs are going to end and we're going to get the laundry list of players from the Panthers who are injured. I'm sure we're going to get something with his back.
Ekblad, Sherratt, Barkov,
Forsling, because he's blocked Marchman, a bunch of shots.
If he comes back, will probably not be coming back 100%.
Yeah, I mean, that's the typical thing in the NHL.
And Hornquist, who seems like he's perpetually playing injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the old LeBron line. It's like, I'm never going to be 100% again. That's Hornquist.
Yep. Yeah.
But, did you just use a LeBron line to talk about Hornquist? Like, I get in context, it makes sense. It's just funny that that
those two people are in the same arena sentence
in which you can compare them.
I did it. You know what? I stand by it.
It's impressive, honestly. And, you know, on the topic of Vasilevskiy being the X factor for Tampa, I want to talk about the regular season on ice results between these two teams. Yes, Vasilevskiy is going to need to be their X factor, is really what these things say. The Panthers won in pretty much every major metric. The Panthers had a better Corsi for, a better Corsi against, therefore a better Corsi for percentage. Same with Fenwick. Same with goals. I mean, at 5-on-5, the Panthers dominated the season series. Dominated.
Which is why they need to stay disciplined.
Which is why they need to stay disciplined.
And that's the next thing I wanted to talk about is you cannot repeat the mistakes of last playoffs. The cross-checks are not going to get called. The holding is not going to get called, just like they weren't called against Washington. You cannot take retaliatory penalties. You cannot chase guys down and board them from behind because you're mad you didn't get a call your way. I'm talking to you, Jonathan Huberdeau, talking to you, Sam Bennett, as you guys definitely listen to this podcast. Like,
for sure.
Don't shoot equipment at other players. I'm talking to you, Anthony Duclair.
Yes, and for those who don't understand, that is actually...
He was just trying to give it back.
Here you go.
You cannot shoot equipment, period, at an opponent. It does not matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter if the guy has the puck or not. It doesn't matter if you connect or not. You cannot do that. But if you start taking retaliatory penalties and your penalty kill isn't damn near perfect, you will lose this series.
And your penalty kill will not be perfect against Tampa.
Nope. Not be any 0-for-18s.
You got to play the ref game with them as much as you play the actual game, because they're the best at the ref game in the league. And I don't think anybody else is even in their league. Nope. I think that they're in a tier of their own playing the ref game. We saw it in the last series. I don't know how in the world they got that interference call on what would have been a John Tavares goal in game 7 when that has happened in the series at several occasions in the Lightning's favor that did not get called. They're the best at it in the league. So you got to figure out a way to neutralize the ref game also.
And you know, I was watching the Steve Dangle video about that game. Sorry, TJ, but like Steve Dangle made a very good point about the John Tavares goal or no goal rather. The refs for that game were Wes McCauley and someone else who has also done 1,000+ NHL games and like 200+ playoff games. Like, and the point that Steve made was this is the best that the NHL has to offer. Like these are the most experienced, most fair, most whatever refs that the NHL has, and they still blew that call.
There are years and years of evidence that suggests beyond random chance that Tampa gets all the bad calls in their favor. And I think that it's for a reason. I think it's because they're the masters of the dark arts in this league.
They're doing voodoo? Is that what's going on over here?
I mean, pretty much.
It's kind of the same thing as the Patriots. It's when you're already that much better than almost everybody else. Anytime a bad call goes in your favor, you're going to go punish the team. Because the adage, not to, you know, defend officiating, because everyone knows I fucking hate officials. But Well, I mean, I'm the most outspoken about it.
I'm just laughing about, I don't remember which game recap it was. I couldn't make it because I was traveling last week.
Whatever recap it was probably TJ Luxmore as the ref.
I just remember, no, actually, the game that TJ Luxmore ref was the most well-officiated game. But no, there was that one game in particular where TJ was like, all right, when do you want to do the recap? And your response, Alex, was like, I'm just going to yell about the refs for 20 minutes. If you're cool with that, we can do the recap whenever.
I think it was the game 3 recap. It was the
we didn't end up doing it because there was something going on. I think it was
Mother's Day.
It was Mother's Day weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was invited to that. I had to go to Mother's Day dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. So first off, the only good officiated game of the series was TJ Luxmore's game, which was shocking. However, he actually didn't make it to the second round of the playoffs. He got cut, and it's apparently because he officiated the game 4 of Toronto-Tampa and did a shit-tier job, which should surprise nobody. So him and his partner...
Dan O'Rourke, is he still on the...
Dan O'Rourke made it through. Fuck. Surprisingly, you know who made it through is the linesman from game 1. I'm shocked at that, but whatever. But again, going back to my point of playing devil's advocate, you only remember the calls that go against you where something bad happens. And unfortunately for the Panthers against the Capitals, there were a bunch of calls that went against the Panthers and a lot of bad things that happened. And Tampa is the same way. They get a bad call their way, and because they're so damn good, they punish you for it. It's the same thing with the Patriots. Like, they got the Tuck rule, they scored, they won. And, you know, every time they get a bad call, like, remember the perfect season where it was that game against the Ravens where they were just getting outplayed and they just got flag after flag that they did not deserve in terms of in their favor. And all of a sudden they're winning the game. And it's like, but that's what good teams do. They take bad calls that go their way and they bury you for it. And Tampa is the master of that.
So did you think that the game 1 Kyle Clifford hit was a 5-minute major?
Yes.
Okay. Never mind. Cause I didn't. And Toronto still won that game 5-0. I mean, I thought it was very similar to what happened with Ryan McDonagh and Anthony Duclair in game 1 of last year's series.
That should have been 5 in a game.
Yeah.
It should have been 5 in a game.
So there you go.
I can't remember who it was preseason was talking about. It was like, yeah, the Panthers Lightning series had the most uncalled cross checks in NHL history for a 6-game series. And
Scott Burnside.
Maybe.
I think it was Scott Burnside.
But yeah, Tampa, like, they know how to play the officials. They know they're going to bury you if you retaliate. So the Panthers need to be ready for it. They weren't ready for it early on in the series against the Capitals.
They were not.
You know, you had a lot of retaliatory dumb penalties taken, but they cleaned it up for games 5 and 6. They need to clean it up starting tomorrow again, or you will lose the series.
Absolutely. Anything else that we haven't really covered yet? I think we've pretty much gotten to everything in terms of the Tampa-Florida matchup specifically.
Carter Verhaeghe for Conn Smythe.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's going.
Yeah, unless you give it to Bob.
Well, we'll see if Bob.
Those are the Panthers' 2 front runners right now. It's Carter and Bob.
Yeah.
There's no one else even like I put out my quote unquote top 5 Panthers players I would give the Conn Smythe to after round 1. And like, there were 3 other players on the list, but like, really, it's Carter or it's Bob.
Yeah. You definitely need Bob in this series. I mean, I know that's the most obvious statement in the world, but like, you can't get goaltending last year.
Bob had a good series against Washington. He didn't have 6 good games, but overall he had a good series.
Look at it this way. We're going to see Spencer Knight regardless because Sunday and Monday.
Back to back.
Can we spend a minute on that?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't think considering there's no travel, I would assume we get Bob back to back.
I think so, yeah.
Who's Tampa's backup goalie right now? McElhaney?
No, Elliott.
Ryan Elliott.
Really?
Yes.
There's no shot Elliott plays. It's going to be Vasilevskiy.
He's also had an okay year. He hasn't been that bad.
But I think, I mean, as you know, we're all very upset about the schedule, which we've already gone over at length. But in terms of on ice, I think the back-to-back favors the Panthers.
Yeah, because they're the deeper team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Bobrovsky's got less miles on him this year. I mean, it's almost certainly going to be Bob in both games, Vasi in both games. And I could see a situation where Spencer gets the start, but that's only if like Bob shits the bed or gets nicked up and then, you know, he doesn't have that day of rest. But like, I think the Panthers on the second day of a back-to-back are in a much better position than the Lightning. They've got more depth. Their goalie's got less miles on it. Like, I think the Panthers have an advantage there.
Hey, Braden Point playing at 70%. Want to play your second hockey game in 36 hours? Go for it. Doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Game three is going to probably have the worst ice any of them have played on all season, considering there is a concert less than 18 hours before.
I mean, the Rangers went through that game seven because they had a Billy Joel concert, and that ice was bad.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah. Now add South Florida weather. Well, not South Florida, Tampa weather.
Florida weather, regardless.
Yeah. Florida heat. A concert the night before, and then a game at 1:30. Because remember, the game is on at 7. You had a concert that starts probably around 8:39 on Saturday, Friday night, and then a game at 1:30 in the afternoon.
That takedown is going to start at like midnight, probably.
Best case scenario.
So
yeah,
that's going to be awful. That favors Tampa.
That I do agree favors Tampa. It favors the less talented team.
Well, not because they're less talented, because what they do doesn't necessarily rely upon like slinging together a bunch of passes.
Yeah, if you're going to play the 1-3-1 trap, bad ice is in your favor because bad ice creates turnovers.
Yep.
The more disciplined team is going to have the advantage in game three.
And I'm not looking forward to it, but you know, maybe they surprise us. Like that's certainly what logic would suggest. But I mean, you kind of got to throw away logic in the playoffs, because logic also suggested that the Maple Leafs would kind of beat up the Lightning on the underlying numbers. And it was actually quite a close series. Like the way it pretty much went the way it was supposed to, other than that, like if the Leafs didn't win the first game 5-0 and spread out their domination across the other six, they would have won the series because they were the slightly better team. But that's because they were so much better in game one. And then in the rest of the six games, the Lightning were slightly better, and that was enough to get them over the line.
That's why it's seven individual games and not a composite.
Right.
Do you guys want to spend time talking about the others, the, you know, just like a second or two talking about each of the other series?
I mean, what's the point?
Okay. That our esteemed guest friend of the podcast, Roy Bellamy from the Dan Levin Show, says no.
We already talked about the Penguins losing.
The only thing I do want to ask about is who will the Panthers be playing in the Eastern Conference Final.
I want to bring this up because, again, the Rangers are playing a racist, and I really hope that the Rangers do end up winning, but they're not. Carolina's a much better team.
Much better, yeah. And it doesn't really have that much to do with Tony DeAngelo, because he's a third-pairing defenseman, and he doesn't have to, you know, get exposed for the awful defender that he is.
Yes, he's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible. Fuck that guy.
I'm going to say Carolina in six, just because Igor Shesterkin is that good, even though he's become more mortal as the season's gone on, because shockingly enough, he's wearing down. But I'm still going to say he steals two games.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And actually, on the subject, going back to the Panthers series, do we think that this is going to be a long series?
Absolutely.
This is going seven.
Yeah, it's going seven.
I think it's going seven as well.
I'm going to say Panthers in six just to be different. I think they get the first. I think they split here. Split into basically the same as
it's going to be a best of three. Yeah, it's going to be a best of three.
Yeah, split. But I think they win tomorrow, lose Thursday, lose game three, win game four, win games five and six.
It's like last year in the sense that game one is potentially the biggest game of the series. And it's not often that you say that. You might think it in hindsight sometimes, but game one is the biggest game of the series. Because if the Panthers can't win with Braden Point, either like at his most diminished or not playing, I personally think he's not going to play, then like they don't really have a prayer in the series.
Unless Point doesn't about the word, come back at all.
I don't know about the word prayer, but it definitely
is a bad sign.
It's a bad sign, and it gives the Tampa a huge jolt if they can steal game one without Braden
Point. Yeah. So game one tomorrow at FLA Live Arena. No Braden Point. Got
to
take that.
You have to win
like,
it. Yeah,
that's without Point in Florida's arena. Like that shifts everything Tampa's way if they can take that game. Everything.
Thank you, NHL, for putting us up against the heat and making ticket sales harder.
Thank you, ESPN, for screwing up all that royally. That's great.
I personally don't think it's going to make much of a difference in terms of what happens in the arena. I think that the Panthers fans that were going to go to the game or were thinking about it are still going to go. With the exception of the press box will be a little bit less populated because a bunch of people are going to be going to FTX instead. But the atmosphere is going to be just as loud. The tickets will sell just as well, in my opinion. Because
there's still a lot of blue left available. There's in the upper deck. There's still
because the tickets went on sale a day ago or whatever it was, Friday.
Yeah, we'll see.
That will get taken care of by the time tomorrow rolls around. I'm pretty confident about that.
Roy, you've barely talked any Panthers hockey today on multiple podcasts. Why don't you get the last word for us?
Panthers in seven. Panthers in six, really, but Panthers in seven. Panthers going to the conference final, right? Let's just get that out of the way right now. Highly confident in this team, and they better win game one with Brandon Point not playing. Otherwise, I mean, what are we doing here?
And that's it. Roy, where can everyone find you, even though everyone already knows where to find you if you listen to us?
Levitard Show, Because Miami, Montgomery & Company, wherever you find your podcast. Okay, goodbye.